If you love to travel, you love cool experiences, I think you're going to love Viator. If you haven't heard, Viator is the world's leading travel experience marketplace. They've got everything from simple tours to extreme adventures, all the cool and interesting stuff in between as well. Well, this year, my wife and kids are making one of my bucket list trips come true. We're going to Sun Valley. So we're going to fly to Sun Valley, and I tell you, the thought of bringing skis, poles, boots, snowboards, everything, overwhelming. But that's where Viator came in. They made this incredibly easy. I just opened the Viator app, searched Sun Valley, and boom, Viator arranges a first-class experience, custom ski, snowboard, and boot fittings and tickets delivered right to the condo. It's pretty amazing. Experiences are what we love most about travel. They create these long-lasting moments and make memories that will last a lifetime. Just download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking. One app, over 300,000 experiences you'll remember. Do more with Viator.
But Constantine was in the most recent episode, even though Matt Ryan only got to say like five lines.
And, the fourth episode?
Yeah.
See, I fell asleep.
That's how I know. And Sam Richardson played Swamp Thing. And I was like, this is a nice voice casting pairing.
I was having a weird dream, and then the credits started rolling. I was like, oh wow.
You said,
I guess there's that.
You said you were having a weird dream, and it immediately reminded me of the Grand Inquisitor on Venture Brothers when Dr. Venture, I think, has a weird dream, and the Inquisitor's like, that was a weird one, because he could see the dream too. as a matter of fact, if my wife texts me, the notification sound is "ignore me" from the Grand Galactic Inquisitor from Adventure Brothers. Because you know,
I should go back
wife.
And watch that show again. Now that it's not coming back.
No. They're getting a movie to finish up. Both it and Metalocalypse are getting a
six seasons in a movie.
Allegedly getting they had had progress on them. And if they don't get canceled by HBO Max at Warner Brothers Discovery, we were supposed to get a movie to finish.
Good point.
I don't believe those.
So we could talk about it. Is that shit safe? I don't know.
I'm sure they have. No, everyone's focusing on DC too much. Safe. What else is safe for Warner Brothers?
I don't know.
But are you going to roll us?
I can. You guys
start
ready?
The recording? Well, I mean, just start the recording even.
Wait, thumbs up like start or thumbs up like go?
I had already said that I was recording. My God, guys.
No, I don't know.
I mean, you're not doing the backup.
Intro.
You're not doing the backup. You
roll
always
that
do.
Beautiful bean footage. I'm accustomed to the point. Usually you point.
There we go.
See, we didn't get a warning. Wait, so is the show started? Is this the show? This is okay. A point and a thumbs up. I guess we're double ready. Hello. Welcome to Breaking Deep 3 of the podcast, the premier flagship and international podcast, the LRM Online, the Genre Bros Podcast Network. Yeah. Ooh. Man, it's gonna be a rough one. We're doing a classic shtick. It's gonna be me and Nick. What is in here? It's just water. It's a solo
cup. It's a red cup. Yeah.
Man, doesn't feel like it. So classic shtick, it's just me and Nick, Jonesy and Nick. We're going to do a classic BGR the P episode, with the exception of Kyle Malone and DeBooth on the ones and twos.
Hello.
On this week's episode, we're going to be doing a review of Prey. It is the film that premiered exclusively on Hulu this past week. But in addition to that, we've got some news that we'd like to cover for you guys. It's crazy enough that I think DC would love to have a positive news cycle like this. We're just talking about them week after week after week in a good way. Unfortunately, that is not the case. So, Nick Dahl, I didn't ask how you're doing. I'm sorry. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing great.
Yeah,
my alarm
you came
went
on
off
the
today.
Show. You had like a little blanket, like a little shawl on you. I was a little worried. Like, are you sick? What's going on?
No, it was a little cold. Until I turned off the air conditioning, it was a little chilly in here. So, how are you?
I'm good. I'm a little sleepy, a little slurry off my lots of water. I don't know what's going on, but maybe I'm dehydrated. We'll see. But yeah, let's get into some DC news. Starting off again with Miller Time. Listen, I can't tell you how excited I would be to be done talking about Ezra Miller in this context. He clearly has some issues, but it just doesn't seem like he's able to stay out of the news. So here we are having another conversation about Ezra Miller. This time, the conversation is about the fact that we're getting more reports of an internal conversation at what's happening at Warner Brothers with three courses of action that they're potentially taking. And it seems like they're still trying to settle on which one they're going to go with. You guys ready? You ready to go through these and see what they're going to do?
Yeah.
So apparently they think that one of these is they're going to take him to rehab. And if he doesn't reach out for help, they're going to release the film as planned. But Miller is not a prominent part of the marketing and publicity, despite being the main character. Also, the role would be recast going forward. One of the other ones is the studio. They've received indications that he's looking for professional help. And so if he doesn't actually do that, then they're going to go ahead with the second scenario. And then the third scenario, which is the doomsday scenario. This is if they get worse with more headlines and more scandals, this would force Warner's hand and they would kill the Flash film just like they did with Batgirl, meaning no recasting, no reshoots. The film is just gone. And keep in mind, this is a $200 million film. I guess the question I have for you, Nick, about this is what would cause the doomsday scenario where they're like, hey, we're just going to kill this $200 million film? What could be the thing that he would possibly do?
I don't know. It almost sounded like if he did anything else, that would be like,
which he has, severe, right?
Yeah. Well, as of the time of this recording and that story, the most reason they kind of was prompted is he finally got served or arrested or whatever for something he did back in May, which I believe was burglary.
Felony burglary.
So I think if he runs afoul of any other law, I think they're going to cancel it. I mean, and that is going to happen. So I just hope it gets canceled because I don't want to miss it with everyone else seeing it, but I'm also not going to see it. But I don't want to be like not part of the conversation when I don't see it.
I'm sorry.
Goes around with my
tease
rule
that
of,
out for me a little bit more.
Yeah.
Explain it to me again.
I hope what doesn't come out so that I don't have to worry about it as continuity, I guess the way I should put it, because I'm not going to see a movie that supports Ezra Miller.
Why?
I know, Kyle, there are more people involved, but it's just like giving your money to someone like, it's like the same reason I wouldn't pay to see a Kevin Spacey movie. It's like, why am I giving money to this terrible, terrible person?
Kevin Spacey raped someone.
I know. They're just, it's the same reason I only saw Fantastic Beasts because of, I know we are, but it's called residuals, Kyle. You make someone like him will make millions in residuals after this.
Kyle has dropped into the chat the fact that Ezra Miller has already been paid for the film that he's starring in, which is true.
But residuals. But well, even like I wouldn't have seen Fantastic Beasts 3 if it weren't for it being free for me. So I don't know. I have different standards than other people, but I consider those rules. Like I don't. Even though they're different levels of bad, obviously. J.K. Rowling and Ezra. Well, I'm not even certain if Ezra Miller has or has not raped someone, but that would be the one that definitely kills it, I guess. Long story short. I've had this conversation with you guys before. God, you won't put it that way. It'll take less than that, though, to get him.
Just to put some context on the felony burglary. So, Nick, you were referring to an old charge, the one from May, like you said. And so this is when Ezra Miller was charged for allegedly stealing bottles of alcohol from an unoccupied Stamford, Vermont home back in May, which, you know, I guess he's not using any of the money he did get paid for The Flash to buy some alcohol.
Or he's already used it all.
He's just burned through it.
Yeah, and that's why
I think just even if something else old comes up, because the only reason Warner Brothers is having to have this conversation is because it has happened in the past, but it brought him back into the news again. And each time he gets brought into the news, it's poisoning their film and their brand further, especially considering they canceled a Batgirl for no reason. They canceled Batgirl. But
I mean, $90 million,
especially when you put out movies like, oh yeah, that's right, they're recouping it or something. But
tax write down.
So stupid. But I mean, like, I don't know if we're going to get to that Kevin Smith quote eventually, but
I will get there. We'll get there.
Okay.
I guess for me, the thing is with this Ezra Miller, I'm really curious what they seem to be waiting for. Based on what you said, I am curious what if anything of these solutions would cause you to go see it. So if you knew going into this film they were going to recast him, would you still not go see it?
I'd see it if they recast him.
But he would still make residuals.
He wouldn't if he's not in it.
No. They're not going to reshoot a $200 million movie to recast. I mean, going forward. So of the scenarios that we have,
this movie's
about,
dead to me. Okay. Yeah. No, this movie's dead to me.
All right. Okay. Interesting.
So they took away all Mike Keaton because they canceled the other Keaton film.
So I really like this idea. So E-Man from E-Man's Movie Reviews. So we've talked to him previously on the show. He talked to us about the recast T'Challa movement, which he's a big proponent of, and one of the people that started it. His was kind of like this almost Back to the Future-esque moment where the person playing the Flash going forward wakes up, because we assume throughout the course of this film the Flash is going to be messing with the timeline, and in messing with the timeline he ends up changing how he appears. I kind of like that idea where he just wakes up and his face is completely different, almost the same way at the end of Doctor Strange, right? Where
he's just walking, bring down up the eyeball
and the third eye just pops up and he's like, well, I guess this is the new normal, we're just rolling forward with this. Like, yep. And it could be like the Flash's oh boy moment from Quantum Leap. So I like that idea.
I like that idea too. But yeah, almost
that'd be a fun teaser for the next one.
Yeah, I actually would. I would think it was too shocking, just because people in the audience did not like the eyeball thing suddenly happening in Doctor Strange. I loved it, but
I do feel like that came out of left field. But I think with this, I think there would be a little bit more context to it. Like, people would understand where it came from.
Oh,
right?
Barry, what have you done this time?
Yeah. Yep. And it would kind of pay off that joke. Like, what was the Grant Gustin joke from the show? It's a great timeline you have there. It's a shame if somebody ruined it.
Do you guys remember, did you hear, or do you know why the third eye was on Strange? Do you know about the alternate ending for Strange? The original planned one.
Let's hear it.
So originally, it was going to be what they were calling Sinister Strange had replaced our Doctor Strange.
Ah, was that when it was before? That was when it was before Spider-Man. No, after Spider-Man.
Before
Spider-Man. I think it was. I believe. I watched the commentary.
When it was supposed to be before. And it was going to explain a little bit about why the Strange and No Way Home made such shitty decisions, and they didn't go with that, but they kept the third eye and are instead just saying, oh, it's the like print of the Darkhold because he did use it. So
I like the original idea better.
Yeah, most people did.
Shuffled.
Would that? Yeah, I guess that doesn't work with Spider-Man being reverse in order. Oh well.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, what?
Yeah, I like that idea of how to that'd be a cool way to bring in a new Flash. But then again, you could just do it Warner Brothers, and even Disney does all the time, and just be like, recast. Maybe you have one good Don Cheadle line where he's like, yes, it's me. Let's not talk about it. Get over something it. Like that. Yeah.
That's right. So what does he get? Get used to it? Something like
get
that.
Get used to it or something. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here. Get used to it. Like, okay.
Like
I'm here for it.
He's the line he's saying to Tony. He's not saying it to the camera, but still like,
you ready to move on from a reverse Flash? Or
Yeah, what was your opinion about?
Oh, I like the idea of just replacing him.
Okay.
At the end. Like, I feel like that alleviates the need to, like, I feel like that third scenario was just thrown out there. No one in their right mind is actually considering that. The $200 million, like, oh, we're just not going to release this movie. Like, that just seems so insane. But I say that, and then the next story is kind of looking at me like, well, I'm sure 2 weeks ago you wouldn't have said somebody was going to get rid of a $90 million movie, would you? It's like, well, yeah, probably right. So it sounds crazy until it's not. But yeah, that's my opinion. Just replace them at the end. Post-credit scene. Do it that way.
Well, one last thing to say about it. I saw this great meme where, like, there's some line in Justice League right before he breaks time. Like, he runs through time. He's like, gotta break the rule. It's like every time Ezra Miller enters a new state, and it was that clip where he's like, gotta break the rule, Barry. Anyway.
Yeah, I I guess the last bit of opinion that I have is I think part of my frustration is, and I try to give Warner Brothers the benefit of the doubt up until this point. I'm frustrated that they haven't said anything. And I think that they do need to make a statement, especially coming off of what they did with Batgirl. It's frustrating to be a fan of some of this stuff, or like be looking forward to something, and then just have it get canceled that way. And then here we are with Ezra Miller, who's been given chance after chance after chance after chance. And we're still like, well, actually, and it's not, we're still like, it's just silence. So that's my frustration. We'll see. See what happens going forward. But with Batgirl, we'll see what happens when we go forward. Because apparently one of the things that came out of this, I can't tell the context for when this occurred, but apparently there have been discussions within Warner Brothers about the fact that Leslie Grace, who was in the Batgirl film that has just been canceled, could potentially carry on the role in another project. I guess the question I'd have for you about that, Nick, is, do you think that they did that in conjunction with canceling the film, or does it seem like this is part of the backlash?
This is the Department of Damage Control right here.
Yeah.
Warner Brothers Department of Damage Control being like, oh, yeah, we didn't mean to cancel the movie with our only Latina actress. Like, let's show good faith. Maybe she'll pop up in Batman one day. Ha ha.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, to your point about Damage Control, so Kevin Smith has some words to say about this. The actor, director, and huge ass comic book nerd said, "It's an incredibly bad look to cancel the Latina Batgirl movie. I don't give a shit if the movie was absolute fucking dog shit. I guarantee you it wasn't. The two directors who directed that movie did a couple episodes of Ms. Marvel, and it was a wonderful fucking show. And they had more money to do Batgirl than they had to do an episode of Ms. Marvel and stuff." And it's kind of funny that that echoes some of the stuff that I said last week talking about, like, why wouldn't you want to highlight the work of these two directors?
Bad Boys for Life, right? Bad Boys 3, you really like that one. Or Bad Boys 3.
I like that one.
Wasn't that called For Life? Like, should have saved that for Bad Boys 4.
Maybe they didn't think they'd get there, and now that Will Smith is slapping people, maybe they won't.
You do always have bad boys forever, so just forever. Saying.
I dig it.
I like that one too.
Eventually you work Bad Boys out of the title, and it's just a four franchise. Not four in every title.
I think the thing that sucks though is that, you know, Bad Boys for Life is relevant to the series, right? That's what they've said since the first one. So you lose that. So yeah, you're right. Kind of sucks that they messed up that way. Anyway, Kevin Smith, incredibly bad look on this Batgirl decision. I'm curious. And I'm sorry. This is from Variety's reporting. And within their reporting, they talk about the film, the test screenings were a disaster and the film was irredeemable. And Smith is saying that he is not buying those rumors that it was irredeemable. So
even then, they put out Suicide Squad. not the Suicide Squad, Suicide Squad. I know it was earlier in their process, and they were hoping for like a Guardians type hit with that monstrosity of an editing, acting, everything about that movie.
Yeah. What's frustrating about this is there is no, I don't think Warner Brothers has any credibility. So the stuff that's being reported behind the scenes or any of that, between some of the Ray Fisher stuff and this going on, it's hard to trust that anything that they're saying, even if it's behind the scenes, is true. So if they say a movie is dog shit, I don't believe them, right? Because they've shown themselves to be untrustworthy, which is interesting because later on in the show, we might touch on the fact that one of those people, Walter Hamada from Warner Brothers, is just apparently hanging on by a thread. I'm also curious, Nick, do you think that any of Smith's frustration with what's happening with Batgirl has anything to do with the fact that his show, Strange Adventures, was also cut loose by Warner Brothers? We learned that news recently. So this was, as I read what this show was going to be, it basically sounded like not what if, but kind of what if-ish, right? The idea that they were going to be touching on different parts of the DC universe for this almost, there's a part of me that wants to call it an anthology show, but I can't tell if that's true. So this was a show that was executive produced by Greg Berlanti as well as Kevin Smith. And this was going to be a 1-hour drama that was set to feature characters from across the DC canon and would use each episode to explore close-ended morality tales about the intersecting lives of mortals and superhumans. Sounds interesting. But again, that description kind of made me think about what if, and had what if not had an overarching narrative that tied it together, I'd still say that that's what this reminds me of. How do you feel about the fact that this show got disappointed, got canceled?
I hadn't actually even heard of it before. So,
but dude, did you see Teen Titans Go to the Movies?
No.
Oh, they used the Strange Tales guys in that. All right, never mind. Producer out.
I'll also check that out.
It's fun.
No, I have nothing against it. I just haven't seen it yet. Like, it's probably on HBO Max, which every time I turn on HBO Max, it's like, this is like going to my grandmother's deathbed or something. Like, I'm watching something that's going to expire very soon. No, I mean, like, not in a sad way, but it's like, I just turned something on I know is going to die very soon. And I'm seeing that. I could be seeing this logo for the last time every time I turn it on. But,
well, I mean, that is, I think, part of the concern, right? So we've got a bunch of potential layoffs. There's concerns about what's happening with the Bad Robot slate. I already mentioned Walter Hamada, who is previously seen as the guy who was going to save this part of DC. And that was, you know, before Snyder was going to save it. You've always had this savior character, somebody who's going to swoop in and take care of what's going on in the DC universe. And it just hasn't worked out. As part of this deadline reporting where they talked about some of the things happening with Bad Robot and Walter Hamada, they said that, where was it?
It's a chunky article.
Yeah, it's a huge article. That they were again looking for a Kevin Feige-esque leader for the DC universe.
Amy Pascal. It can only get better, even if you add Amy Pascal into the mix.
Yeah.
Don't wish that on anyone, Nick. That's awful.
I guess my frustration with that line of thinking is they've kind of been through that cycle, right? It was supposed to be Zack Snyder. It was supposed to be it's Greg. What's the guy's name? His name just jumped out of my head.
Jeff Johns. He was one of for a while.
Jeff Johns. Yeah, it was Jeff Johns for a while. And then Walter Hamada stepped in. He was going to take care of this. And so you've gone again and again and again through these folks and just hasn't worked out. And at least Walter Hamada walked away. And Jeff Johns, to some extent, walked away with scandal wrapped around their necks based on what was happening with Ray Fisher. And
what about or do you think he didn't do a good enough job on TV? Greg Berlanti. Or do you think his stuff would be too wacky in the movies and it would be, or do you think if you gave him real money and movie talent that his universe would be different? And not like, obviously he's not going to retread the same stories and use all exact same heroes, but he seemed to run a connected universe at CW that a lot of people liked for many years, not all the way through, but like many seasons.
I guess he's fine. You know who I would go to before that? I would go to the 90s DC animated universe folks before I went to Greg Berlanti. So for me, that would actually excite me for what's happening in DC universe. If you were like, hey, we're going to do this for real, and we got Bruce Timm to head this. And I'd be like, you know what? I'm all in. Like Greg Berlanti, I would go like, I would say, yeah, he's competent. And I would go like, let's see what's going to happen with this. You said Bruce Timm. I'm like, yep.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Like, give it to me now. Give it to me yesterday. And I've had that conversation with friends before. Like, I don't understand why it is that these folks are so good at bringing us animated television shows and features. Just give it to them. Let them do it.
Yeah, they're still making good stuff.
Still making good stuff. So that's the direction I would go if it were me.
Okay.
But the question I wanted to ask you is, do you think it's time that DC just move away from that idea? Because I would say, looking at Harley Quinn, Peacemaker, Suicide Squad, the Batman, Joker, I can name any number of good or successful DC projects that did not happen under the umbrella or watch of some DC czar. And so I feel like, let it go. Right? That's not your thing. Connected universe is just not your thing. Let it go. Just make good stuff.
Well, can I jump in on with that, Jonesy? Because I was thinking of a question to prompt to you guys with that. Do you think that this is potentially something inherent about DC properties? To set that up, DC characters created to be demigods, perfect idols because of Great Depression, war and things in the early 20th century versus Marvel, which immediately looked at after the World War II stuff that became Marvel. But, you know, we're talking Fantastic Four, Spider-Man and all that designed to be contemporary, modern, progressive, deal with imperfections, deal with the humanity. Do you guys think that it's potentially that contemporization? I'm not against contemporizing DC stuff because sometimes it does fairly well in the comics, but do you think that there's something in that translation for modern projects taking those classic characters and that all of these issues happen in that creative bottleneck, if you will? Do you think it's something inherent to DC, or is it Warner Brothers?
I think it's Warner Brothers, because I would say that one of my biggest frustrations with Warner Brothers is the fact that they are the ones that started this, not only in the comic book realm, but in the movie realm as well, right? They were the ones that came out with Superman first. They were the ones that came out with Batman first. So they were the ones that created the blueprint for what we have now. And so if I was answering your question, what I would say is I think that they don't have modern people, speaking of modernization, they don't have people currently in those seats, the executive seats, that know how to give people what they want. It seems like they're looking across the street to Marvel and Disney and the billions of dollars that are just rolling in. They're like, we want that. And in trying to replicate that, they're just stumbling all over themselves.
Just picture Mickey Mouse like swimming in a pool of money and being like, come on over there, Bugs. And Bugs is like,
wait, no. The Warners,
you gotta throw in the laugh.
The Warners have mascots. It's Wacko, Yakko, and the Warner sister Dot. So they would be like swimming in the like pool that water that needs to be changed and giving the mouse the bird.
I like that a lot better because I love it.
Yeah,
but
I don't like the reboot.
I mostly read comics, I enjoyed the reboot, but the classic stuff is classic. I don't read enough DC of the characters that don't have dark drama, because I would say 90% of the DC I've read, if not more, is Constantine and Batman, who are two very flawed individuals without superpowers and even have resentment often towards the people with superpowers. So I'm not really sure if that's the issue, though I will let like Jonesy, I think, had a good answer for that. And as for the second part, I would kind of like, or the first part going back, I like what they're doing with the fun movies we talked about, or even dark ones like the Batman that aren't connected. But I know a lot of DC friends who are like, I want what they have at Marvel. I want like these interconnected movies that lead into Justice League or like Crisis on Infinite Earths. I think it'd be fun to have a balance of the two, which is what they're doing with the Batman universe. I almost say let's do it. But it's such a mess now. I would really only want it if they dropped all the people that were in the main universe, including the actors, and were like, okay, the Suicide Squad's its own universe now. We recast Aquaman and Shazam and just anyone else, or keep Shazam in its own universe with Black Adam. Now, I guess my answer is keep them all separate at this point, the way I just talked myself into it.
Yeah, so that's exactly what they are currently doing, though. Right? So you've got the Joker, which is its own universe, the Batman, which is its own universe, and then still, for lack of a better term, the Snyderverse, still moving along.
Gunverse, I would say.
The Gunverse.
I would say, at least I would feel like that's its own pocket right now too. And the Reevesverse.
You think so? It's not really,
but they're giving him so many projects. Like
they are,
you know, we know we're getting
so
Peacemaker
projects,
2 and another spinoff.
I call it the Snyderverse because the genesis of all of those characters in that world still related to it. But yeah, you're right. He seems to have a significant influence in there. One of the stories we talked about covering today was the fact that it looks like Idris Elba might be coming back to the DC universe. Was a Fandango he was having the conversation with, and they said the next project, like, is he going to show up in a Marvel or a DC project? And he said it's definitely going to be DC, but he didn't say what it was. And he thought it was probably Bloodsport.
The next spinoff that James Gunn promised, yeah. Another spinoff, as we were saying earlier, yeah. Just the Suicide Squad.
I'm kind of leery of it. I will wait, especially if it's going to be James Gunn that does it. One of the things that I loved about Bloodsport were his interactions with Peacemaker. Right, that to me
crossover
is what
series
sold that. Yeah,
maybe he's just in season 2 of Peacemaker. That would be fun.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think overall, all of this stuff is really just making me more dour on DC generally, because the threat to the shows that I do enjoy, like Doom Patrol, and a couple like Titans, mm-hmm. and a few other things, like I'm just like, I don't know how I feel about this, especially if they are pumping more money into films I don't really care about. Like, I didn't care for Joker, but one of the stories that came out, the fact that this is going to be a huge payday for Todd Phillips and Joaquin Phoenix, they're going to be making 20 each. Lady Gaga's going to be making $10 million for this
didn't
film.
They say, and the budget was $200 million, or did I make that up? Because I thought the first one was so successful because it had a small, I mean, it made money too, but it was the highest grossing blockbuster of the year, because
150
based on how much paid.
150 million, sorry.
And the first one cost less than 100 million, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So like, that's one of the reasons it was like.
And so to me, I look at what's happening at DC and I just get frustrated with what they're doing versus all the projects that I was excited for, in danger or canceled, the things that I don't give a shit about, they're just pumping more money into. I'm sorry, not all of the things. I don't care about the Joker. So that to me is frustrating. And I think it's a bad look to have those two things happen at the same time, have Batgirl go away, yet you're just pumping more money into Harley Quinn and the Joker and a sequel that it's going to be a musical. That'll be fascinating, but
I think that's its best feature. Otherwise, I would really be. I'm just bored at the idea of watching the first one again. Let alone, I guess seeing a second one is better, but it's like, I like the first movie a lot, but it's just like, it's like Schindler's List. It's a movie you only put on like every decade. Because like, this is a great movie, but it's rough. For different reasons, obviously. But I'm not even excited that Constantine's one of the main shows that's still alive, because they're planning on recasting him. And that's what makes the other shows work. And even the comic work for me, because I always hear Matt Ryan's voice in my head. So, like, he brings so much to the character that he actually had cool interviews at WonderCon or whatever the hell's going on right now, or recently, where he talked about he got, you know, the movement of the character from literally from the panels, like the sharp angles, like, when, you know, just the weird movements and stuff. And then his voice brings something special even to the comics. And to, he's played him in everything animated since his show. Every time Constantine's popped up, and he's become more and more important, especially like Apocalypse War. Like, suddenly it's supposed to be like, it seems like it should be a Justice League story, but it's a Constantine story.
Yeah.
Or even I was mentioning before the show, even though, and I'd like, that's why I'd like to see him continue. That would be what, that would be easily be the DC project I'd be most excited for, is Constantine starring Matt Ryan.
Listen, DC's new brand. That's also me. What you want.
I know.
That's their brand now. You want a thing? Fuck you. No. Can't have it.
Well, Marvel just trolls over through Reddit and just picks whatever the top posts are to do in their movies.
Movie by committee. So, what was I going to ask you about that? Oh, have you watched Sandman at all?
No, that's super high on my list. This week I watched Resident Evil for a second time. And
I was curious
with my roommate
what you would have thought, because I'm fairly certain. So I've only read at the comic book bits and pieces, but I'm fairly certain that it was supposed to be John Constantine, and they replaced him with Joanna Constantine.
Yes,
in this.
I thought it was a different Constantine in the comics, but damn.
But Manny,
Matt Ryan, and that would probably change the tone completely.
Manny and Brian. Manny does Daily Cog with us, and he's also one of our interviewers at LRM, and Brian does Anime Versal with us here on Genreverse. Both big fans and readers of the books, both sing its praises. Despite the changes, they say that the characters are true to source in everything but appearance for some. It's super highly recommended to people by many, like Brian and them. And Manny had said, that was supposed to be Constantine. He said he didn't care that there was a change. So
interesting. So he liked the show that much.
Yeah. Yeah. But both Manny and Brian, and Christine and I are trying to find some place in the slew of Marvel and upcoming Star Wars and like seven seasonal anime we're watching, plus back catalogs stuff. I'll find some space somewhere.
That'll be next week's goal for me, is to finish Sandman by the next show, which is very doable when you're on you're getting paid not to work. Well, 60% of your paycheck injury leave or whatever.
It totally did a Harry Potter for me, which was, I got to a point with the Harry Potter movies where I was like, all right, I see what the fuck these books are about. And Sandman did that for me, where I had kind of read at the books, not with any kind of, it was just like, let me see what's going on. Now I'm desperately going to just jump in there and just burn through them. I've had multiple friends just say, like, just stick with it. You'll like it. So that'll probably be my next project. Actually,
I probably should read it too if John Constantine's in it.
Well, I was going to say that was going to be my next thing, but at the end of the month, and I was looking at you, Nick, when I was thinking about this, but the new J.K. Rowling book comes out at the end of the month. So I'm going to be reading that.
Not Harry Potter related at all, right?
No, it's going to be the Cormoran Strike books, her mystery novels.
Oh, I knew about those. I didn't realize it was a franchise of books.
But yeah,
talked about it once before.
I don't know. Yep. That was the context. So the context for that story that we did like months and months and months ago, that's the series of books. So she doesn't even write them under her actual name.
Okay. J.K. Rowling, really her actual name, even though That sounds like a made up name.
I think because it was such a break from what she had done previously that she wanted to just write a thing. It's really good. It's really good. I enjoy
if
it.
I read,
can't wait to see
and
it
I would
one.
Check it out. My local library.
So here's a funny thing, funny story. There is a live action version of these books on HBO Max. You could watch it right now.
That's my goes against my JK rule and my Joanne Rowling. That's
but if you already
name,
pay,
so
if you already pay for HBO Max, then
I've actually been wondering how residuals work on those services.
Stop thinking about it. Just watch the fucking show.
I don't know. I do have a lot of shows to watch first, including Sandman. Yeah. But
I mean, if you watch television like that, where you're just like, I can't watch this because this person did this, this person said this, this person did this, you would never watch anything. It's too much.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Pick crimes, right? Yeah, murder,
pick crimes.
Rape, incest. Like, you know what? I'm good. Those are my top three. If no one did that, I'm good. That's how you have to do it. Otherwise, like I said, it's not going to happen.
So I seem to make a list of. I was fine with Ezra Miller punching people in the face in bars because even Anthony Starr did that. I mean, celebrities do that. If you're not a real celebrity, if you haven't punched someone in the face at the bar, you're either a Scientologist or not a real celebrity.
So you're not a celebrity until you've assaulted someone.
Yeah. And been allowed to get away with it mostly because that's how you know that you've hit celebrity status.
You've made it.
Fine.
Jack somebody in the face.
That's too much.
So, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, maybe do it like that. Anyway, you ready to move on from news? We got a movie to review. You ready to talk about
Cruise news real quick.
Oh, my God.
Tom Cruise has not one, not two, but three potential movies.
Wait,
with
so is it Cruise
McQuarrie.
News or is it Mission News? I need you to, like, we
well,
got to stick to
these are
thing.
Mission
gotta...
related. Mission News. So it's three projects with Christopher McQuarrie. One is said to begin to be the beginning C-Mac. Of a new action franchise. And I'm like, if you're going to do new action, if you're going to keep having Tom Cruise do action, just keep making Mission Impossible movies. One's apparently going to be a musical. Which, you know, he's done that before. It was Rock of Ages, I think, musical. I know that one's a musical. I think that's his name. And then a Les Grossman movie, which is really the one that got me excited. Because you could, I mean, I'll always see a Tom Cruise movie that's like, yeah, give me that and combine it with the musical movie. Make those be the same movie. That's about it. I just super, I love these guys working together, McQuarrie and, Cruise. They've given us two good Mission Impossible movies, Edge of Tomorrow, as far as writer, not always directing. Sure. Top Gun Maverick, which he did the final pass on. Like even American Made was written by Chris. I think they've at the before they did Mission Impossible 6, I think they had 11 projects together. Mostly McQuarrie writes for Cruise more than he directs for Cruise, but yeah, that's it in Cruise news. Just those two seem like magic. Like it's kind of like Scorsese and De Niro or like Jordan Peele and I'm spacing the guy's name and I know I can't pronounce it. The guy that Jordan Peele called his Leonardo DiCaprio or whatever. Star of Nope. The Star of Nope. I can't remember how to pronounce his name even. Oyelelo or something is that his last name?
Daniel Kaluuya.
Yeah, that him.
Kaluuya.
I get that feeling I've just enjoyed most of the things that they've made together, even when Chris McQuarrie is just writing. Maybe Doug Liman directs for Cruise a lot, like American Made and Edge of Tomorrow. So yeah, okay. That's Cruise news for the week or Mission news.
I would watch a Les Grossman musical.
I think that would be the best. Those two projects are actually the same. And
I feel like he would have to be the straight man, like everybody else singing around him, and he's just telling him to shut the fuck up and like punching them because he won't stop singing. That's what I want.
I watch that for 90 minutes. Doesn't need to be longer than that.
I want that. I want
just,
to go to that.
Just give me an action movie. Like Bruce Smith doing Tom mission level stunts in a fat suit with hairy hands.
I feel like this works. I feel like that just needs to be one movie. a Les Grossman action comedy musical
in space. Combine that with whatever the space project is. Done. Let's do it. Sold. Done. Paramount, sold. Take my money.
No, they have to give you money. It was your idea.
Well, just you can have it for free and then take my money so I can go see these that movie we just pitched.
Okay. We'll take it. We'll take it. You ready to move on to Prey? Can you do Prey now?
Let's pray. Right. Not let's pray love,
let
just
us,
pray.
Let us pray. Dominus, Dominus. So right now, Prey is sitting on Rotten Tomatoes with a 92% from the critics, which is super effing high. Oddly enough, it's got a 79% from the audience. I'm fucking
not
baffled.
Surprised.
You say you're not surprised?
No.
You have to tell me later on why you're not surprised. Yeah. Wait, no.
No, I said no.
I know. I got it. So this is an origin story of the Predator. This takes place in 1719, and this is the first time the Predator has ever come to Earth. So the Predator is coming here to find the ultimate kill. And yeah, Nick Dahl, what did you think of this film that stars Amber Thunder, Dakota Beavers, Dane DeLuccio? No, I probably screwed that name up. Sorry. Dan Trachtenberg was the director of this film. What'd you think of it? Your non-spoiler impressions.
I really, really liked it. I do enjoy most of the Predator movies. Well, I could say all of them except for the Predator, but I'm never like excited to watch it. So it actually took me until Wednesday to even pull this up because I'm like, yeah, I want to do it for the show, but I never am excited for Predator until I'm watching it. That's a great Predator film. It works with, it definitely has smaller budget than any of the other ones, I would say, if you take inflation into account, but it works, like it goes hard. And yeah, it's not really a traditional Predator story, which is why which leads into my later, I understand why it has a lower Rotten Tomatoes score, but I think it's a fascinating idea. When they, in the movie Predators, they like find a bunch of their treasure or trophies or whatever, and someone has a samurai sword, so someone online was like, that's how they should keep the franchise going, like let's see Jump Predator in feudal Japan, let's see Predator and yeah eras and you know countries.
It was a great Predator film. We've got, this is the fifth in the franchise.
Yes,
where does this go? And I'm not even going to include the Alien versus Predator.
No, I've never seen those, and I wouldn't include them.
Don't worry about it. Don't.
I would say it's actually my favorite because I don't have a lot of. I didn't see Predator until college, so it's not like I have that love since I was a kid of the franchise.
Was this a film your parents just wouldn't let you watch?
I didn't get to see R-rated movies until I was old enough to see R-rated movies. I mean, like the rating, which is like 17 or something. I don't know, it's one I didn't even see till later college when my friend's like, we should watch Predator, and it's like, I have no interest, but all right. And I was like, whoa.
It's shocking to me because I think back on movies like Predator or Highlander, and I'm like, somebody let me watch this when I was a kid. I would never let my kids watch this shit. And then I'm like, I turned out okay, I think.
I don't know. I saw, my dad showed me Hamburger Hill. It's like one of the earliest movies I can remember. I was maybe 4, 5 and seeing Hamburger Hill. And then, I definitely saw The Exorcist at around 7. So
my parents didn't let me see Jurassic Park until I was old enough at 13. Ooh, but since my sister was 4 years, since my sister's younger than me, she got to see it then 4 years. Like they let me see it at 13 and her see it at like 9 because they just like, if Nick's allowed to watch it, we'll have the little sister be allowed to watch it.
Let's see. What year did the Jurassic Park book 1993. Come out?
The book? I don't know.
Yeah. See,
I did read the book by fourth grade. But I don't
this
know
is like Jeopardy. You've got to wait till I finish asking the question. Let's see. So it came out in 1990. You know how old I was? Tell you how old I was. I was 8. My parents gave me the book.
Dang.
So I read that one and then I read the second one And when the first movie came out 3 years after that, 93, right? I was like, yep,
yep,
let's go watch this. So, yeah, different standards. Maybe I should just let my kids watch more violent things. Anyway, I got distracted. Prey. So this is your top Predator film. Okay.
I've only seen like the first one twice. I barely remember the second one except for like Danny Glover and Nick Nolte.
Crazy. And I think Bill Paxton was in the second one as well.
Yeah. See, he gets killed almost immediately at the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is one of the, I think that's one of his distinctions, right? He has been killed by a Terminator, a Predator, and an alien. That's his call. Not, it's not his claim to fame, but that's like a merit badge that he has.
It's the Sean Bean of alien movies.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, aliens, not. Yeah.
It's too bad he couldn't be a criminal executed by a RoboCop to complete that
1980s so trifecta.
With the free space, he gets 80s death bingo card there.
That is true. That would be a fun one. Oh man, Bill Paxton, now I'm sad. I really enjoyed this film. I thought it invigorated the franchise in a way that my friend's husband was like, hey, no, I just went over to their house. We were hanging out and he's like, hey, you like movies? And I said, yeah. He goes, we should watch the Predator movie that came out in 2018. It was on Amazon, streaming for free. He's like, let's sit down and watch Predator. This movie. I think we were 20 minutes into that movie and they made a joke about, have both of you seen it?
Yeah, unfortunately.
No, yeah. I was out after I saw the preview with Predator dogs, and I was like, that's like Hulk dogs. I'm out. Bye, Shane Black.
They made a joke about, we got to get the choppers or get to the choppers, and they were talking about motorcycles, and I was like, are these the jokes? He goes, these are the jokes. Take them out. Done. Like,
I really like Sterling Brown in that movie, and especially what happens to him at the end.
I don't know. You'll have to tell me one day, because I'm not going to watch a movie. So after watching that film, I was concerned, much like Stallone, right? Where he's like, dude, you're bleeding this franchise dry. I saw the trailer for this and I was like, not only are you going to bleed this franchise dry, you're going to drag Native Americans down with you. Pleasantly surprised they didn't do either. Like, this film reinvigorated the franchise in a way I didn't think was possible. It was a lot of fun. They had some unique fights. They brought some unique things to the franchise, just a lot of fun and some interesting kills, I thought, and some conflict among the characters. And I really enjoyed it. So I agree that I would like to see this franchise go forward in that way, but also, I mean, it sucks because it would suck to lose Amber mid-thunder, because I thought that she was really good in this movie as well.
Pitch.
So.
X-23. Mm-hmm. Don't even do Wolverine. Just give us her as Wolverine. X-23.
That'd be fun. I think she could handle it. Good. I don't know if you guys ever saw Legion, but she was definitely like the action character in that. Like, she was the one that would walk in and whoop everybody's asses in a room. So she was able to kind of carry that forward into this film, and not in an unrealistic way. Like, she fought like a woman that could fight. And so that helped keep me in the moment and enjoy this film even more. So yeah, I highly recommend this film.
Yeah, like I said, as much as I'd love to see her in a Predator sequel, like Predators Come for Revenge, it's like, now jump to a different time period and give her another great role somewhere else in Hollywood.
Okay. So given that you've only seen Predator 2 once, actually, before we jump into spoilers, let's get your letter grade.
B plus.
I'm going to skew higher. I'm going to give it an A-. So if you liked or disliked Prey, jump on the Discord. Let us know. I'm really curious. I'm curious about this split between the critics and the, and I don't know what you call everybody else, just the viewers, the regular audience folks, which I guess I still feel like I'm a part of. And so now we're going to jump into spoilers, and Nick, you're going to explain, you're going to break it down for us. You're going to let us know, hey,
yeah,
this is what's going on right now. Let's hear it.
It's not even a spoiler. Hey, Harry, it's film bros being like, a little girl couldn't defeat Predator. It killed a whole legion of men. That's exactly what it is. There's 1,000 videos online like that. It's toxic masculinity where it's like, the Predator killed like a whole unit of like men, except for Arnold Schwarzenegger. How does a little girl take him on? And I think that actually, I guess it does get into spoilers because that's part of the plot that everyone says about her.
From a million miles away.
I didn't even think of how it connects to the plot. That everyone underestimates her from her tribe from to the tribe, Predator himself. Even the Predator himself, she has some comments like where he doesn't see me as a threat. I think it's that also might just tie into the fact he doesn't seem to attack anyone until they point a weapon at him because he wants a challenge.
No, like but line, I think you're right. I think that is a dual purpose line.
Yeah. So I think it is the whole race. Skywalker, well, God, well, I don't like the idea of Skywalker either, but God, how can a female Jedi run a trilogy, or how can a, you know, it's just, it's like, or like,
with better writing, that's how.
I know, but like before, when you, I'd only seen a trailer, everyone's like, who the fuck is this? This isn't Star Wars.
It's like, actually, most people, when the Force Awakens originally, like the trailer and all that came out, there really was not a large vocal female lead, especially EU fans who had dealt with Mara Jade being a big female lead and Jaina Solo being a big female lead, Tahiri Vela being a big female
black lead. Stormtrooper.
That definitely, especially in China too. But yeah, there were issues, but it wasn't really until, like Jonesy pointed out, that most people had an issue with Rey. It was the writing of the sequel trilogy, especially getting into Last Jedi, which, if you notice, most people still don't complain about Rey too much. They complain about Luke and a whole stupid Canto bite arc, and then Rise of Skywalker, which is just complete garbage. So for that one specifically, Rey isn't, and Daisy Ridley might not be the best analogy. Just saying.
I'm playing a lot of movies.
We
recently,
let their rancor out.
Yes.
It's like, fuck this movie.
That happened?
Huh?
Did that happen?
You brought up Star Wars, you let the rancor out.
Oh. I thought there was a scene I missed in Last Skywalker because I cared so little for it, or Rise of Skywalker.
You missed the rancor in Prey? Jeez, Nick. Were you even watching the same movie?
Predator takes the Predator versus the Star Wars universe. Make it happen, Disney.
I'll give
you own
this,
all of it.
I'll give the sequels all the hate it deserves, but and I'll give whenever fans are being assholes all the hate they deserve. But there is a lot of some overlap with the hate for the sequel trilogy only being because of Ridley. I think a lot of people forget how positive The Force Awakens was received for the most part, especially for Daisy Ridley. And like I said, The Force was already pretty damn female before Disney took over it. And if anything, Disney almost reduced the number of prominent females with recognizable names with what they have done. Really, you just think everyone thinks of Rey and potentially Jen Erso, but you know, whatever. Okay. She existed before.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Well,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like there were all these females in Star Wars beforehand that the majority of the fandom was all about. And then Disney takes over and it's been the writing for the most part. Yeah, there are toxic assholes out there, but for the most part,
Star Wars,
it is writing.
Which Kyle and the sad on our thing show is, for 5 minutes. I'm just kidding.
There was a period of time where I wanted Ahsoka to be the star of this new trilogy, and now I'm like, good, you didn't get a chance to fuck it up.
Yeah, they still have a chance. But yeah, I think that is a big part of it for Prey. Yeah,
I think that they've learn their lesson going forward with this, and she's going to be in the hands of the folks that created her. So I feel a little bit more heartened by that. But enough of that.
I think that's what applies. Yeah.
I think I agree with you. In some respect, I think one of the things that there are hints at race and racism in this film.
There are
hints of, depending on how you look at it, right? Are they treating the indigenous people that way because they're different or because they think they're just superior? And then you also have, you know, the sexism throughout the course of the movie. Mm-hmm. And I find that people generally just don't even think that that should be addressed in some films.
Too woke. Predator is woke.
And I think that that's probably, that might be reason why.
Yeah. That ties into it. The big snowball effect of a woman taking down Predator. Yeah. Settlers being racist. Like, what is this?
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I agree. I think that that's probably the reason and rationale why, which is sad because I think what they're missing is, so if I had to rank, I think this for me probably sits right behind the first one. It's hard for me to top the first one just because the impressionable age at which I saw it. Mm-hmm. But I think I fully acknowledge that in some aspects, this is just a better movie. It's a better made movie. But the child in me will not admit that.
No. Yeah. No, I mean, that's fair.
Did you, so given that you've only seen the second one once, they did a few callbacks in this film, right? So you had the mud in one scene. You had,
which they never really used. Kill
it. They didn't use, yeah. It was a head fake, right? It was a fake.
Yeah, I thought that's kind of lazy if they have her like fake what Arnold was smart enough to figure out. But yeah, it was a great fake out. I liked that line. I didn't know the line was from Predator 2.
Which one? If it bleeds, you can kill it.
Yeah.
That's from the first one.
Oh, okay. Even that, like I've seen the first one twice. I need to do a whole rewatch because Hulu has them all lined up. Because I also like Predators quite a bit. So did you catch
the gun part at the end, the significance of the gun? So the pistol that she throws the chief at the end is the same one that they throw the Danny Glover at the end of the second one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which made me wonder, like, how do they get it back? So there are actually two potential ways that they could go if they were going to make a sequel to this. And it would be either you do go to Fuel Japan or you're like, how'd they get that gun back? I want to know.
There's multiple Predators. They have more than one gun.
It is the gun. It's not a Predator gun. It is the French guy, the French trapper's gun. So...
When they steal the land, they're like, oh, this is the gun used to kill Predator.
Yeah.
Let's give it to Danny Glover or whoever has it in that movie.
There were a couple of the things about this movie that I wanted to point out. I loved the fact that, like, you already brought this up, just that people within her own tribe doubted her. And
they beat her at one part.
Oh, yeah.
Physically beat her.
Yeah. The conflict that she had with the folks in her own tribe was good. I enjoyed that. I like that she overcame it. And I like that her mother reminded her, like, hey, listen, hunting isn't for sport or pride. It's for survival. We do this to survive. And it kind of puts the predator in its own category of just like, it's only doing this for sport. And the way the Native Americans are doing it, they're doing it for survival. But for Amber Midthunder, her character is doing it for the purpose of just proving that she can. And so I thought that was an interesting juxtaposition.
And the white men too, with like the buffalo thing. When I saw that, I'm like, oh, the predator does exactly what Westerners used to do, and then later it's like, oh, I didn't know there gonna be white people in this. It was the Westerners
who predators moving
through and just skinning. Yeah, I thought that during that scene, And I'm like, oh, it's an allegory for white men. And then it was, oh, the white men did it.
Oh, they're actually
just like real life history. Yeah.
Yeah.
That actually caught me by surprise. I guess no idea that there were going to be trap. I guess you'd call them trappers more than anything else. Like that's, they just skinned a buffalo. They didn't even eat any of it. Right. So.
Yeah. There's been some discussion among my friends and I think even on the Discord about that final battle between her and the predator. And I was curious what she thought. Like people are saying like she was too lucky, right? Like they didn't care for how that final battle ended. What did you think about that?
Maybe she had a few lucky shots on him. And definitely it's what's interesting about the film bros complaining about it is it's like, you obviously complained without watching it. Lots of other people dealt damage to it before she had it in this weakened state. Like her brother did a number on it. He took bullets. He was like bleeding, even though the predator can heal himself, Star Trek style, or really Westworld style. But I thought it was earned still. Like she strategized in advance. She got the mask in the right position, which delivered the killing blow. I didn't understand why the predator was that stupid that he would use his wrist thing when his mask was pointed right at him. But I didn't notice what your friends noticed about her being too lucky or anything. Or I was enjoying it too much, or I just didn't think. Yeah, I just didn't even think about it.
Yeah,
I thought it was just badass.
I think that's probably what happened for me. I get into a rhythm with movies. And if I'm in a rhythm where I'm enjoying something so much, little things like that, even if that was the case, even if you pointed that after the fact, I'll just shrug it off. I'd be like, yeah, maybe. I still liked it.
Definitely. It was a very interesting choice to put it on Hulu, but the right one, because the last two, they've tried like every 10 years and the last two flopped.
2018?
You can tell
it.
Well, I just seems like every decade they do one, not every 10 years apart, but they did one.
I see.
In the 10s, they did one in the 2000s. I think even Predator 2 and 1 is Predator 2 as close as it came out to Predator 1 is 90s, and then Predator 2 is in like 91 or something, and Predator the original is obviously 80s. So it just feels like they try every decade and they fail. And it was noticeably lower special effects. You could tell it's a little cheaper, mostly really only not with the predator, but like the bear, for example.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, this ain't no Revenant bear. You could tell I didn't have enough money to make it look as good as it could. But that kind of stuff doesn't bother me either. And I'm like, bravo, way to make a franchise. What the most viewed thing ever on Hulu at, and so, you know, obviously this can get some sort of sequel and really revitalize the franchise, not like the other two times they tried, because I still want a sequel to Predators, but that ship has sailed.
I did enjoy that one.
Yeah, I like the twist in Predators with Topher Grace. That still sticks with me. And the design of the Predator is awesome in this. He has more of a Native American design where he's wearing like skull of something he found on Earth as his mask.
Yeah. Do you think that's what that is?
I don't think we know. Like at first, because it had more of a he does have more of a like indigenous design, not fully. He has all his fancy weapons and everything, but like even the dreadlocks seem to be toned down to a point where they're like more like Native American. Like if those even are hair, I've always wondered in the Predator if that's even hair or if it's
like something an extension of its body.
Yeah, like not.
I don't.
Not yeah, little. I guess I didn't think, you know, it was being tingly things that jump out. It just. It definitely looked like it was. He had less. Since it's hundreds of years in the past, it definitely looks like he doesn't have as good equipment as in some of the later movies. Like his shield looked more old-fashioned.
Yeah,
and it was cool. He decapitated someone with it and didn't just use it as a shield.
Yeah, I loved. So the scene where he. I need to watch this movie again this weekend. Because the battle where he's taken out the trappers, like
that's
there was one guy who tried to attack him. He kind of looked at him very annoyed when he tried to go after him and it just kills him. This predator seemed to have a little bit more attitude than some of the other ones, like just irritation dealing with humans. Like, what are you? Are you the apex predator on this planet?
I thought I was hunting a bear.
Yeah.
What the fuck is this?
When he jacked that bear in the face, I laughed out loud. And they did a really good job of making it seem like that bear was actually going to get the better of him. It's like, wait.
Yeah, this is the part where like you right see now? Him like collapse on him, but you're like, no, yeah. He's going to rip up through that thing or something. Yeah. Level one of his earliest adventures are like skinning snakes. Like barely predators. Not really an apex predator at all, but.
It doesn't know. This is figuring it out. And
then it's like, oh, mountain lion. And then it's like, oh, well, actually, he didn't kill the mountain lion, but. You go.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I liked that this was his first visit to Earth. So we got to see him going through, like you said, is it the snake? Is it the wolf? Is it the bear? Like, what the fuck is the thing on this planet? What's the thing on this planet? Who's your champion?
And they're always different predators, right? Yeah. They always killed the predator at the end. But yeah. I'm glad she survived, though. It wasn't the situation of the first film where he's like, and he like blows up Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No, he lived.
Okay. I just remember that was like the Predator's last trick in the original film.
Yeah, he's defeated. He tried to blow himself up.
Cool.
So, yeah, we'll see. I could go either way with the series. I would prefer to see Amber Midthunder return. But if that's not the case, yeah, super cool to see what would happen in feudal Japan.
Or anywhere. That was something that someone noticed from... Someone pulled up that skill, but still from Predators, where, yeah, he has a samurai sword in, like, his collection. Shit. Do you think these are normal Predators? Or, like, these are, like, the weird, like, almost geeky Predators who go out and collect shit? And the rest of the planet's like, look at these assholes. They're always going out and just collecting new shit and bringing it back. And they never come back. What the fuck?
I don't know. Couldn't say. So you think there's just like a Predator scholar somewhere sitting there reading a book? Like, the fuck is this person doing?
Yeah, but like the other Predators are doing their little office jobs and stuff like that. And they're like, they're the ones, I guess it wouldn't even be geeky. They're just going on hunting trips. It's like, oh, did you hear Joe's going on a hunting trip to Earth? Yeah. It's like, oh, but Carl never came back from that place 200 years ago.
Yeah, it's almost like Klingons. What are the normal Klingons doing? Because they all can't be assholes.
Yeah, they're all not at war. Some of them are just like teaching Klingon in the school. Maybe teaching a little English. Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe we'll find out. That'll be the next one. It'll be a slice of life anime about predators. The ones that don't go hunting. That's what I want. Give me that.
I would want to watch that anime.
Yeah, let's see. Let's see.
Even if they're a sexy predator high schoolers.
You got to get over
bring
that.
It back for the fans.
Do you have anything else to say about Prey or any of the news that we talked? You're already over there, Lunger.
What?
So you're right over there, Lunger? Coughing.
Yeah, I know. I quit smoking 2 days ago. So I'm going through the extra phlegm out. Nothing else to say.
Haven't you already quit smoking? Is this... Which time
yeah,
is this
I try to. There's
smoking?
A great new app though.
You do it, Nick. Get it. You quit, man. It's a great thing.
What do we do when we fall, Master Bruce? Or why do we fall, Master Bruce? We can learn to pick ourselves up, Mr. Motherfucker.
Are you trying to pitch the fact that there's a new Alfred Pennyworth title? Is that what's going on?
No. That was the weirdest bit of news, though. The origin of Batman's butler. It's like, anyone who's watching it's got it. You're not going to get a bigger audience by changing the subtitle.
You made it in season 3 without mentioning Batman in the title. But, okay, sure. Sure. Anyway, I think that's it for the show. We can shut it down, right? We can cut the check. All right.
Let's cut the check.
Well, dear listener, if you like what you heard, do all the socials. Like, rate, comment, subscribe, share. Nick, where can you be found?
I'm at Geeky Nick Doll.
See, it's not
Twitter
easy, is it?
Instagram. on Instagram and Twitter, right here on Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, and Kyle and I do Marvel Multiverse Mayhem on a new day because they decided to change the day again. Ever since they ruined Marvel Multiverse Mondays, they just can't stick to one day for Marvel. So I am Groot this week, Wednesday. Next week, we're off to Thursdays with She-Hulk. So check us out there.
All right. And you can find me Instagramming and tweeting at Sir Joneses, and of course, right here on Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast. Folks, jump on the Discord. Let us know what you think of Prey or any of the news we talked about on the show today. But other than that, we will catch you on the next one. Hasta lasagna.
Jump in the Anya.
Redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You too could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.